Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Big Footy Women's Podcast, the only women's podcast with no women, as we move along. Joining me, as always, though, to discuss women's footy and all the news around women's footy, I have Girls Play Footy's own Peter Holden, or Crowded House, as he goes by on Big Footy. G'day, mate. How you doing?
Always good to be here, but obviously we'd love more women on this particular podcast, so contact the Wookie via bigfooty.com, because to share the love around, it should be about me, it should be about the women. And most importantly, I have got the most ironic thing for you that's occurred out of this weekend. As we all know, as we record this podcast, at a Saturday, you could call it a draw in the federal election because there's been no result as yet, maybe a hung parliament. And then ironically, the next day, I called the VFL women's match between Melbourne Uni and St Kilda, and that ended up in a draw.
Well, big news, I guess.
A weekend of no winners.
No winners, no losers. I guess that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Pete, there's been a lot of news lately, especially a lot of recruitment news as we get into things. Breanna Davey, what can you tell us about that situation?
Interesting to see an in-principle agreement between the former Melbourne City goalkeeper in the W League. She's a current player for the St Kilda Sharks in the VFL, played one game last year for the Western Bulldogs in the exhibition matches, has played two so far this year. She has signed an in-principle agreement with Carlton that she would work 3 days a week there in the community engagement role and be one of their marquee players. Now, that, of course, is subject to the AFL saying yes to Carlton, she will be a marquee player. She has made it known that she'll be putting AFL above W League. She was one of the few players where there was going to be a question of summer sport versus winter sport because the season would be February, March. She's made the call that she's going to be playing AFL.
And if her comments are anything to go by, it does seem that more and more women may make that choice as well.
Well, it's interesting to note that Emma Carney, one of the superstars out of Melbourne Uni, she plays obviously with Melbourne Stars in the Women's Big Bash League. She's also been chosen as part of the Victorian Spirit squad. She, when asked the question about a month or so ago about what would she favour if she had to choose between footy and cricket, she actually admitted cricket just over footy. And for someone like that, you could certainly understand, because not only does cricket pay very well, in fact, we'll probably play a little bit better than AFL. For her, there's exciting developments in women's cricket, where obviously Australia has its Women's Big Bash and there's the variation of it over in England. But if India catches on and India decides to make a women's version of their Premier League cricket over there, well, then there's bigger money to be had over on the cricket side of the fence.
Well, I'm not sure that there aren't cultural barriers to that, though, over in India, unfortunately.
Well, it's a strange thing. There's cultural barriers, but let it be told with the old BCCI, if there's money to be made, they'll ensure it happens.
Mm-hmm. Now, the South Australian government's put $275,000 up for the Adelaide team next year.
This is very curious, now, yes.
They're talking about paying travel costs here. Is that not going to be covered by the AFL? I would have thought it would be. They wouldn't make that mistake again.
Well, this is the bizarre thing, because what we know is that the AFL were going to chip in per club $500,000 to cover costs, and that would be for the first year, and I'm told in years to come that would slowly start to whittle down as clubs would then be taking on the greater responsibility of finding sponsors, covering all the costs, etc. If it was the Northern Territory government doing that money, yes, I'd understand it's part of the deal that they were going to play a game or two up in the NT as part of their license bid, where they tied in with AFL Northern Territory. But to help cover travel costs, as you said, I thought that the AFL would be hoping to cover part of that money. Am I a fan of them getting the $275,000 for the women's side? Actually not. If the money, if the SA government had that kind of money to to throw out there for women's football. I'd rather it be spent on the grassroots.
Yep.
At the SAWFL, where that's still a fairly, what I call a fairly young competition. There's two divisions. It's still developing. It's still growing. It's nowhere as developed as it is over in Victoria or Queensland, for that matter, or even WA. Money in that competition, I thought, would be a lot better to try and strengthen the grassroots, which in turn would give a better player development and better players that would eventually flow on to the Crows. $275 to help with money at the Crows doesn't quite sound right.
You have to... I mean, the problem with the Sawful, I find at the moment, is there is a bit of a split in how it's operated as well, yeah. In terms of how women's footy over here is operated. And I would have thought that would have gone a long way to... like $275,000 would definitely go a long way to helping the Sawful itself sort its own issues out.
Indeed, the Sawful at the moment is being run by the South Australian Amateur Football League, or they call it the Channel 9 Adelaide Football League. The AMOs essentially run the under-18s and senior women's competitions. Youth Girls is actually run by the Sandful, so it's a very weird split over there at the moment. And another controversial thing with the $275,000 that was pointed out was that I think it was the Adelaide Lightning basketball team that were virtually, you know, almost on the verge of closing down before the Motor Accident Commission jumped in and saved them. Back then, there was appeals to the SA government to jump in and save them, and the SA government didn't throw money their way. So you've got to ask the question, you know, why wouldn't the SA government throw money at women's basketball to save that, but it's throwing its money at women's football, which, to be fair, it's an AFL club, part of the AFL, which have just signed a $2.5 billion TV deal. You know, you've got to ask priorities where the money goes. From a government perspective, that is. Businesses, go for your life.
I think the government, the government said in its statement that it sees a way of making, putting South Australia forward as the place to go for women's sport. But like you say, why that didn't go to women's basketball, it might be the profile of the sport that has pulled the government in this case. And also governments change, circumstances change. It's hard to understand what the government's doing at the best of times.
Yeah, exactly. And my personal opinion has always been when it comes to government money in sport, that it should always be on the lesser-known sports or the and including women's lesser-known sports and grassroots sports, which need the help because they can't pull in the corporate dollars or the TV money. The likes of the AFL, let's be honest, they can look after themselves. They draw in big coins, you know, from you and me, there's a supporter, there's, of course, the sponsors and their TV deals. I think they can pay their own way.
Now, Simon Lethlean, in the article on the AFL website today, he said that essentially the clubs have all put their nominations in as they had to by last week, and that in the nominations, essentially for the top two marquees, there's very little duplication. It seems to have all worked out okay in that regard. But when it comes to the next three or four down in that top five that they've nominated, that there are some duplications in that area. The AFL is also saying that they will now put at least $10,000 into relocation costs for any marquee that has to move into state. I would say that's aimed at the GWS sides.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're not going to be able to put... I mean, that might be Tasmanian talent that has to move up there for some weird reason, but, you know.
Yeah, the Tasmanian thing's been weird, where you think Tasmania going to Melbourne, Victoria would have been better, because a lot of people from Tassie go to Melbourne for university. But, yes, they're looking at, obviously, I was chatting to Maddie Collier from New South Wales when I was talking about her hopes to play in the national competition. And she kind of, when I asked her the question saying, with your two marquee players, do you feel they should be New South Wales homegrown, or do you think they should be Victorians? She said, in one way, she'd like it for New South Wales players to have it to show that they can, you know, breed their own talent. But she was also realistic that, yeah, probably it'd probably be handy for a couple of key Victorians to come up to help strengthen their side, strengthen their state. And the question is, who they get from Victoria going up there. They probably need players, not only key position players, but also very marketable. Like you said, with the double-ups, the two players that we can virtually say, which he hasn't said, that the other clubs haven't put in a request for, are Daisy Pearce and Taylor Harris. They know Daisy's Melbourne. They know she's the number one pick. She ain't going anywhere. Mind you, we said about Michelle Cowan, but that's a different story altogether, which we'll touch on soon.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a moment.
And Taylor Harris, of course, we know, virtually signed to the Brisbane Lions, so that's another thing. We do know one thing. We know that in a recent interview put on the Lions website, Taylor Harris was interviewing the Brisbane Lions women's CEO, Brianna Brock, and she actually spoke about that some of the Victorians had actually inquired about moving to Queensland. Well, she said those from interstate. Now, it'd be interesting to know if they are Victorians looking for a change, or if they're Queenslanders along the likes of Astor O'Connor, for example. Would she be willing to move back up north? We know there's two Queenslanders that wouldn't move. That is Katie Brennan. We know that she's virtually going to be a lock for the Western Bulldogs. They were talking about employment with her there. And she's also just started her own KB Performance Training Centre in Coburg, in the inner northern suburbs of Melbourne. And Tiana Ernst as well, who's been studying as a doctor in Melbourne and now specialising in gynaecology. She's been doing all those medical studies. She actually bought a house last year in Melbourne's northern suburbs. So she's not about to up and go as well. So there's the one Queenslander out there, Astor O'Connor, who at the moment's not playing because of that knee injury that she did in the exhibition game last year. She's a key position player, known as a ruck, but can go forward or back and even play on the wing. She is the one to watch. Is she going interstate? Who knows?
So we touched on Michelle Cowan, and there have been a few coaching announcements or coaching-related announcements that have been made.
Yeah, the first one was the absolutely obvious one. Yeah, that was
Starcevic.
Craig Starcevic. He was the AFL Queensland High Performance Manager. It was, you know, as much as some hope that he'd say the Dogs, he was always going to be in Queensland. He's developed the system there. He's the perfect guy, well-respected up there. He was an absolute lock. And plus, of course, he was coached, assistant coach at some stage up there at Brisbane as well. So he knows everyone up there. He knows the system. It makes perfect sense. But then two interesting moves. The first one was the Bulldogs coach for this year, Damien Keeping, was poached by Carlton. Now, Damien had technically coached at Carlton. They were using the Carlton facilities for the Victorian Women's Football Academy. He was helping out with that. He'd been an assistant coach at the TAC Cup with the Calder Cannons. He coached the two exhibition games for the Western Bulldogs this year against Melbourne and against WA, unbeaten, and then Carlton was swooped and picked him up. The other big one, of course, surprising but not surprising because of the situation, and that's Michelle Cowan. Since 2013, whenever she'd been in the coach's chair for Melbourne, she was undefeated. Melbourne did have the one loss against the Bulldogs this year, but she actually wasn't in the coach's chair for that one. Highly respected coach. She was given 4 days a fortnight to work at Melbourne and working within development as part of the men's side. It looked like her career progression was going up. But then I guess it came down to the crunch of, could she commit more? And I think Melbourne wanted her to almost commit full time, but she has two young kids and also her husband who works in a mining company based in Perth. And our sources say it's a very well-paid position and that job is not transferable. Obviously, as families do, they had to sit down and have the chat. She said to Melbourne, I'm sorry, I can't commit. And as much as I don't think it's actually signed on paper yet, I do believe it. As Sam Lane was reporting, it looks like all indications that Michelle Cowan will be the Fremantle coach.
Now, Peter Searle at St Kilda's in an interesting position at the moment. She's not, strictly speaking, a women's coach, is she?
No, she isn't. She's made famous for winning five flags at Darabin. Five flags in a row is just absolutely incredible. Then she moved through as coach at the Western Jets, was a defensive coach at the Port Melbourne Club in the VFL, and then, of course, got picked up to be an assistant coach and a development coach at St Kilda with their men's side. She did actually make it known that when St Kilda were bidding for the women's license, that she didn't actually want to coach the St Kilda women's side. She said she wouldn't mind giving a helping hand, but she wanted to focus on her career progression on the men's side of football. And I can understand that in a way, that you don't want to be just seen as a woman, as a woman, and be you know, pigeonholed straight away of, oh, you're a woman, so you must coach the women's side. She's trying to make her way and progress through the men's ranks. So no doubt there might be one or two clubs that might try and throw a carrot out there to her, say, oh, I'll coach the women's side and you can coach the men's. But I just got a feeling, as it is, she sees that her career is progressing well on the men's side of things at St Kilda, and she's going to be a happy camper there. But, you know, it'd be great if she was coaching in the women's competition, but, you know, we obviously want to see her progress as far as she can.
I'm just wondering if Collingwood threw enough money at her.
Well, you know what, the old saying is, everyone's got their price. I mean, if they throw you stupid money, if they throw you, you know, double what you're earning now, you're going to at least take a look. You're at least going to go meet for a cup of coffee. So
the other, the other question in this is this a sign that the bigger, like the more financial clubs are poaching the talent from Melbourne and the Bulldogs? And it was always the fear with the way the teams were set up.
It could be. It could be, because there's no coaching salary cap or anything like that. There's essentially three spots that need to be filled now. We know the Adelaide Crows haven't announced, but it is just about odds on favourite that Narelle Smith is the SA State coach, will get that gig at the Adelaide Crows. It'll be a fake and plea. No word out of GWS yet if they're going to go with Tim Smith, the New South Wales coach, or if they're going to bring in an outsider. At the Western Bulldogs, that is a completely open book. No one knows who's going to go in there. No one knows who's going to go into Collingwood at that stage. Melbourne, the crazy theory was thrown out there that Paul Roos would coach them inside. The only way I see that working is that if it's only for a season only, because I think he's out the door, and I think his wife is almost the case, and his wife's about to appear as we're recording this on the Fox Footy round table. I think his wife wants to move on to things post-football, and he was always at Melbourne for a limited time. But if this thing ends in March, his wife might allow him to just say, oh, look, just go for a few more months just to set up the team through its first season. That could be a possibility as like a stable handover, but I still think it's unlikely. There's three possible names in the ring that could get the Melbourne job. The favourite, I'd say, would be Graham Bergen. He was a Victorian women's state coach. He coached the Victorian women's side last year against WA. Has been part of the Victorian Women's Football Academy. Coached Melbourne in their loss against the Western Bulldogs in March. So he's in the system. People know who he is. Also respected throughout the TAC Cup system. An outsider is Richard Delpos. He coached Darabin to their last three flags in a row, stepped back this year, more taking on like a mentoring role at Darabin at the moment. He's also been involved in the Victorian Women's Football Academy and has also been an assistant coach as part of the system at Melbourne. But the Smokey, the one to keep your eye on, is the current coach of the St Kilda Sharks in the VFL Women's competition. He's got them sitting tied for second at the moment, and that is former Melbourne footballer Sean Smith.
Oh, really?
Sean Smith, I reckon, you Smokey. He coached at women's football at Berwick, at Cranbourne, took a year off to coach men's footy. He's come back to coaching women's footy this year with St Kilda. They're praising the style of coaching that he's done. They say it's very, very simple, these instructions. He's completely changed the look of their side as well. Out in the park, they've got a whole heap of new young players that have now created their midfield instead of having to rely on some old hands, and they're performing great. And he also was an observer to the Melbourne coaching staff when they played against the Brisbane Lions. And, you know, I think from a marketing point of view, they've lost Michelle Cowan, but it'd be great from a Melbourne marketing point of view if they could go, here's one of our ex-Melbourne sons coming back and he's going to coach the women's side. It ties in a nice little bit of history there.
That would be good. Now, from here we go to Simon Lethlean today saying that the marquee players will all be announced at the end of the month. Whether that happens or not is another story. But then the remainder of the playing list will be filled by a lottery-style draft in early October.
That's correct. I'm surprised they're now announcing that it'll be at the end of the month. Originally, it was going to be mid-July they were going to make the announcement, so they seem to be stalling a little bit more. According to Brianna Brock's interview as well, is that the marquee players can be allocated to a club, but it is up to the player to decide to accept. So, for example, if the player is based in WA and is offered to go to New South Wales, the player can actually decline. So that is something worth reminding, as much as there might be up to $10,000 as settlement money to help them move. If a player does not want to move interstate as a marquee player, they can decline that and stay back for their own state-based draft. Come September, nominations will open for the state-based drafts. The one thing is interesting that if you're based in New South Wales, you can actually tick the box if you'd like to nominate for South Australia or Victoria, for example, if you are considering moving, like Elise Gamble, for example, over in Tassie, who's considering moving to Melbourne for university. She can tick the Victorian box and say, I would like to go into this state draft. October 10 is the date. And what will happen is the two marquee players, as we know, would have been well and truly allocated by then. It's a squad of 25, so two gone, another 20, another 21, I think it is, will be drafted on the state-based draft day of October 10. To take them to, I think it's a squad of 23, and then there's another two or three remaining spots which will be available for free agents. Those are retired players that are coming back to play football, those that are switching sports, or I believe also players from overseas that they may be interested in picking up on.
Awesome. I think we're all caught up, Pete. Was there anything else that we haven't covered?
No, that's virtually it, but a big weekend coming up in footy. Do yourself a favour, go onto the VFL website on Sunday afternoon. They're streaming the RUOK Cup match between the St Kilda Sharks and the Eastern Devils. Not only will that be a great game, third versus fourth, an absolute cracker, the St Kilda Sharks are wearing the special yellow jumper for the day to raise awareness for the RUOK charity. And as well, there's going to be a story on that on Future Stars TV in Victoria, which is on Channel 9 on 12:30 on Sunday afternoon. So you can learn more about how they're getting behind the cause of RUOK.
Alrighty, well, that is about it for tonight. You can catch up with Peter Holden on girlsplayfooty.com radio on the weekend. What are you covering this week, Will?
Yep, got a two big games this weekend. Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m. on air, Diamond Creek versus Melbourne Uni, second versus fifth at Preston City Oval, Cramer Street, Preston, 10:30 a.m. Saturday morning. And Sunday, 1:30 p.m., the bottom two sides go at it, Knox versus Geelong at Schultz Reserve in Wanturna.
That's going to be the curtain raiser for the Northern Blues game, which has been moved to Preston.
Yep, on, that's Saturday one. So if you're a Carlton fan and you're interested in seeing some of the top talent run around, I suggest you arrive early at Cramer Street, Preston, because they've got the coffees there as well, so you can have that while it's cold. And you can watch Diamond Creek versus Melbourne Uni. Diamond Creek want to win this one to keep in touch with the final, so it's going to be a desperate affair.
Just before we go, just a quick public service announcement. The AFL have, for whatever reason, has a separate women's news page at afl.com.au/women's. You can also catch up with the latest women's news at girlsplayfooty.com. Thanks, Peter.
Always a privilege. And as we said, if you're a female out there that wants to talk footy, contact the Wookie via Big Footy. Give me a break.
Yes, give Peter a break. And also get some women on to talk about women's footy. That would be good.
Exactly. It's their game. They should own it.
I'm going to have to get helium or something next week.
Hi.
All right, guys. We'll see you all on the forums. And or on girlsplayfooty.com.